Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
This week, we're finalizing a three-week series called The Economy of God. And this last week is so tailor-made for a man. And so today, I'm going to speak directly to men in a way that men will typically like me to speak, because I usually, obviously, am thinking in both capacities when I speak. But today, ladies, I love you, but I ain't thinking about you at all. No, I am, but just not as much. And so, but we've done a three-week series on the economy of God. Week one was about the why of the economy of God. Because when you understand the why, then week two was the what, or the practices within the economy of God. But when you understand the why, you will run to the what. But when you don't understand the why, you will repel the what. So the why is very simple. There's one scripture that kind of encapsulates it very simply. Deuteronomy 6:24 said, "And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, listen, for our good always, so that he can continue to bless us and to preserve our lives as he has done to this day." So every instruction from God is for your good and my good only. Say out loud, only. There is no weird religious need that God needs you to suffer and be miserable. Obedience is a blessing, not a curse. Honoring God with your actions of obedience resulting when you know that he loves you enough that anything he instructs you to do is for your benefit. And I believe you'll see more of even the why within the what today. Now, the what are the actual practices. Now, if you put one little phrase around the what of the economy of God, it's reckless generosity. Reckless generosity. God so loved the world that he gave. Not money, but he gave himself, his son. It is a type and level of giving that your mind, the human mind, cannot wrap itself around. So it's a reckless generosity. Then this week, we're going to talk about the economic and the eternal multiplier within the economy of God. And let me explain what I mean by that. That you have two, right now you're living your eternal life, but partly on this earth. So we have a life, the Bible says, that now is, that's in the earth when you live in a body. Then when you leave this body, you are in eternity, no longer trapped to this earth by a body. So there's the life that now is and the life to come. The economy of God, listen to this, is a multiplier in both kingdoms at the same time. The reason most men push away from a relationship with God is they see God through the eyes of femininity. There's nothing wrong with that. That's half of the nature of God. But God is both. And I'm going to explain that to you in a moment, why that's so important. Because a lot of men will say, you know, I'm not into, you know, Jesus thing. I'm a real man. And like he wasn't. He went to a cross for you. He died on a cross willfully. That's a pretty brutal thing to do. And what I want to help you to see today is that when you walk with God, he wants to multiply your life. And the gifts and the talents and the resources he's given you, he wants them to be multiplied, not just for the time you live on the earth, which is important, but also for an eternity. So again, before we get into the specifics, I want to pivot again and take a moment and actually celebrate fathers and celebrate men. Again, will you thank every dad in this room for the sacrifices they make and giving their life and pouring their life in their family? Because here's the reality in which we live today. Men today are diminished in our culture. And when I say our culture, let me define that. I'm not talking about a group of people that you agree or disagree with. Remember this, there are only two kingdoms and there are only two cultures, period. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And Jesus said, Satan is the God, small G-O-D, God of this present age. The cultures of this world that want to squeeze you into their mold are born of hell. And Jesus said their motive is to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life abundantly. Say out loud, abundantly. So the kingdom of God and the culture of the kingdom of God is multiplication and abundance. The culture of the world, if you will, set ablaze of hell, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But the culture has diminished men, set ablaze of hell. And I'm going to show you why. And then also the culture has so minimized the value of fathers. They're unimportant. They're replaceable. I mean, in fact, our government has replaced fathers with whatever they pretend it's going to be replaceable. You can't replace God. You can't replace his plan. And so men are so minimized. Fatherlessness is at epidemic proportions across all barriers, across all socioeconomic environments, every racial barriers. It is at epidemic proportions. If you want to solve the ills of this society, 90% of them will go away in a generation if you have a husband and a wife who walk with God in the home and will live as God designed them to live as man and woman. You will solve 90% of the social ills in this culture. And you and all the trillions of dollars cannot replace the purpose and plan of God. Now, I'm going to say some things that are going to be maybe hard to hear because you're going to pass it through the lens of this culture. A lens that has given you a mirror to look in that you've defined yourself by. But here's the reality. This shouldn't be controversial, but crazily it is today, that men and women are different. No, gender is a social construct. You have to teach someone to be that crazy. Unless you've never been around the opposite sex. We're different. Now, I don't want to be graphic, but we're married a long time. And when we ain't got no clothes on, I'm telling you, we're different. Men and women even respond to being naked differently. Okay, I'll talk to this side. It's the truth. Man, go to the shower. He'll walk around naked. He doesn't care. Walk around. When your wife, she looks like she's dressed to be in the Taliban sometimes. Why? Because she knows. You see her. You're like, hey, hey. It's like, will you calm down? No. We're different. Thermostat on the wall says we're different. All the men in the room are hot, women are cold. Except that there's certain times in a woman's life when you'll get hot too, and that's a part of it. We won't go there, but there's a time that happens. We're different emotionally. We're different hormonally. We're different in our makeup. We're different in our psychology because we were designed by God to be different. And there's a reason. Because man and woman together is the expression of the full image of God in the earth. When God created male or man, he created them male and female. And so the distinction of the sexes is the reflection of the image of God in the earth. So when somebody tells me that gender is a social construct, no, gender is the image of God. And the reason the culture is trying to destroy the family, fatherhood, gender, sexuality, because all of them define the image of God in the earth. And the enemy of your soul wants to destroy God's image in the earth by destroying you. Now, I'm going to say something again that's going to be a little controversial, but don't get mad and leave real quickly. You wait till the end and then get mad and leave, okay? But just at least wait till the end to draw a conclusion. And here's the simple reality. The culture is trying to feminize men and masculinize women. It's taking masculinity away from men and femininity away from women. Because here's the reality. By God's design, and I want to let this hang out there, women are primarily nurturers. I don't want to be a nurturer. I'm not a nurturer. I'm not a nurturing bone in my body. If you get close to God and get healed up, you'll be able to. There's a reason why you can't nurture, because you think it's wrong. You think it's weak. You think it means you'll be taken advantage of. It's half of the image of God. Last time I checked, no weakness exists in him. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. Oh, that's a good thing. If you study the person of the Holy Spirit, you'll find he has more of his makeup, that part of the Godhead, reflects the nature and the makeup of a woman. But our culture, nope, nurturing's weak. It's not me. Then is the Holy Spirit weak? Why do you define nurturing with being weak? You're saying I can't lead. When did I say that? When did God say that? It just means everything you do from that makeup. And when you deny that makeup, guess what? You're messed up. I'm not going to be a nurturer. I'm a woman and I'm better than a man. Then stop trying to be one. You aren't made to be a man. And God knows we don't, I'm a man. I don't want Michelle to be one. Believe me. She got the short end of the stick, I'm telling you. God made man, man. I'm telling you, he made the physical body of a man. The Bible said, the Hebrew talks about being pushed together. It said when he made woman, it was skillful. Man, you're a work of art. You are a work of art. And you're saying men aren't smarter than women. No, I didn't say that. You made that up in your own head because you've been shaped in the image of this world. Nurturing doesn't mean you're weak. In fact, it takes strength to nurture in a world that does everything but. Now, men, your primary design by God is to be a sacrificial warrior. You say, ain't no warrior in me, man. I'm getting my brains beat in. Because this culture has beaten you into submission. I want to read a scripture to you out of 2 Corinthians that will help you understand how powerful it is to live in the image of God. And why when you live in a world that's trying to destroy the image of God in man, it matters that you don't let that happen in you as a person that walks with God. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, but we all with open faces, that means we have access to the presence of God to be in his presence. We can uncover our face and go into God's presence and behold as in a mirror the glory of God and will be transformed, now listen, into his same image. Into his same image from glory to glory by God's Spirit. You see, there's a mirror that we've all lived in. It's the mirror of the culture set ablaze of hell. And that mirror has shaped the way you see yourself. Maybe some experiences. Maybe you've been harmed or injured or you've made terrible mistakes or you've been abused. I mean, people have done horrible things. Those shape how you see yourself. God said, when I redeem you through Christ, I give you direct access to my presence as my child. And when you come in my presence, you can behold my physical glory. And as you look into the mirror of that glory, it will transform you into the image I've created you to be. You know what that means? If you can't, as a man, be a sacrificial warrior, I'm a warrior, but are you a sacrificial one? Then get in his presence and he will change you into his image. As a woman, if you see nurturing as weak, because perhaps maybe you've seen people, quote, who were nurturing, taken advantage of, you need to get into the presence of God and find out what it means to be as powerful as God, the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus, the Bible said, his face was set like stone toward the cross. And he couldn't be moved. Men see very narrowly. Women see peripherally. By design. We even see differently. Okay, how many men, your wives find stuff you can't find? Here's how a woman looks in the refrigerator. Knows everything in there. Here's how a man looks. Why? We can't see. Women drivers, are you kidding me? Women see everything. They are literally by design. God made them to be peripheral. Why? Because they're going to nurture. You can't fix what you can't see. But he made men to go like their face set like stone to protect and to be sacrificial. I don't need protection. Tell you what, it's 2 a.m. There's a bang at the downstairs. Michelle leans over and says, what was that? I go, what's your turn? Well, that's the way it's going to be in my house. Then you married an idiot. Because my body is designed for the abuse. A woman's isn't. Men are stronger than women, generally speaking. Well, I work out. Well, I don't mean if you work out and you take care of yourself so much on a man that hasn't for 100 years. Generally speaking, unless you're out of your mind, men and women are different physically. So we were designed to go take the beating. We were designed to go and look at someone. And by the way, nurturer doesn't mean weak. Go ahead and mess with a woman's child. She will take you out. As a nurturer. She'll nurture your family after she kills you. But there's not a man in this room who sees the image of God in him. If somebody comes in your home, I'm not being slight about this. I can't imagine what it would mean, what it would feel like to take a human life. I would never even want to be put in that position. Some people have had to do that as a matter of military service. I couldn't imagine. And if I were in my home alone, and even if I had to take a life to protect myself, I have to tell you, it would be very hard. But if my wife was there and my two girls, and it's between me, getting through me to them, I will kill you and drink coffee. No, I'm sure I'll be like worked up because I'll be traumatized. But when I'm done, I'll drink more coffee. And you'll be dead. Why? Because, you mess with them, you want to harm them, one of us are going to meet God. That's nothing wrong with that. Well, I just think that's violent. No, it's called the image of God. You lay down your life. Why am I telling you this? Because until you get this, the economy of God and its multiplication factor will never impact what God wants you to do and be with your life as a man and as a woman. The economy of God is designed to, even in an economic way, to bring multiplication of your life. It is the ground floor of where you begin to develop your faithfulness. Jesus said the way you handle your money is the least. He said, if I can't trust you in what is little, I can't trust you with what is much. He talked about money as little, people as much. And that's why the way you steward your money as a Christian matters so deeply. Because you are called by God and equipped by God to do this. And so let me make one last statement, and then we're going to pivot and go into this in directness. I plead with you, don't let the culture squeeze the image of God out of you as a man or a woman. Let God in his presence shape you to understand what it means as a woman to nurture and what it means as a man to sacrificially be a warrior and lead. And Jesus said, when the two marry, they become one. You can't separate one. You can't make one better one side or the other. My right hand doesn't look at my left hand and say, I'm better than you. No, you're not. It's nuts. That's what the world's culture is getting the people in the earth to do, is to be victims, to fight over my victimhood and make somebody the blame for how I feel. Now I feel is how I am. And poor me. My father would say, shut up and go to work. What's the matter with you? I'm going to give you a couple quotes from my dad. Father's Day. Outside working in the hot sun, man. He's sweating like an animal. And the man had hair and fur everywhere. He took a big old thing of sweat, walked over to me, just laid it on my arm. I said, what are you doing? He goes, that's sweat. In case it ever happens to you, I don't want to think you're sick. He was the best, man. He was so funny. Your mother, she'd make me walk 10,000 miles, save any of you five boys two steps, your mother. He was awesome. And when you ever disagreed with my dad, even as a kid, and particularly as we got older, you were wrong, of course. And so here's what he would end every discussion with. He would say, hey, listen, from now on, use your mother's maiden name. Well, that's a terrible thing to say to your child. That's why you need a man in the home. I mean, I mouthed off to my mom. I was about 14. My dad walked over to me and didn't grab me like this for leverage. Grabbed me like this. Bam, pulled me off the ground. And he said, don't you talk to my wife that way, boy. You understand me? My hair's blown back, spit in my face. And he put me down. Well, that's not a kind way to act. I didn't do it anymore. Well, that's unkind. It's not what Jesus would do. Yeah? Find the Bible when he took a whip and beat people with it. In the Bible. By the way, he never physically hit us in a way that would have been dangerous. My mother's another story. That woman should have pitched for the Yankees. You'd be running and go down the hallway. She'd throw a shoe and it would go around the bend and hit you. That woman was crazy. Sweet mama around. He said, Patty, you're so sweet. What you see around here shining my youngest brother, Mark, baby Jesus, halo. The one they really love. We're all in counseling, but we're okay. And that woman could take you out, man. Thank you, Jesus. You were born for dominion. Listen to me. Every one of you in this room, man, woman alike, you were born to have dominion in your life, not to be dominated. And that dominion is not to be over people. It is to be over everything in the earth. Listen to what God said over humanity in Psalms 8, verse 6. This is what he intended for you, man and woman, the crown of his creation. And by the way, men and women, human beings are not equal to animals. You're nuts. We eat animals, not people. Well, I don't eat animals. Jesus did. Well, I don't agree with Jesus. He doesn't care. You can eat whatever you want, but I'm just telling you, a culture that tries to make a frog the same as a person is diminishing the image of God. God made man in his image, not a toad and a dog. Just a thought. Our dog, my dog's human. Okay. Psalms chapter 8. Now, I know you love your dog. Your dog ain't human. It talks to me. Well, we have doctors for that. Psalms 8, verse 6. I'm talking to men today. So if I'm offending a few ladies, I'm on target. Okay, here we go. Psalms 8, verse 6. God, the psalmist David said, God, you gave mankind charge over everything you've made. And you have put all things under his authority and dominion. That's how he made you to be. You see, a relationship with God, man, listen to me, woman, listen to me, is a calling and even a command to take dominion and authority in this realm of life in which you live so that you can become a multiplier. You're going to see in just a moment what God calls faithfulness. God has called you to multiply, not just your money and your resources, and that's by what he's entrusted to you, but your time, your family, your treasure, your gifts, your talents, your vocation. Every one of us are called to be multipliers, both in this life and with a kingdom application. And the economy of God is literally designed to bring multiplication into your life. It's where you start. And you are called and you are even equipped by God to be a multiplier in this life. And no matter what you face, no matter what you've been through, it doesn't have to continue to define you. There is another image that you can be changed into. And I want to take you to multiplication, God's economy of scale. The word scale is a term that's kind of has negative connotations because of it's set in the context of capitalism. And there's a lot of evil that could be within capitalism, certainly. But God believes in scale. What do you mean by scale? Start a company, scale it, grow it huge, sell it, make a lot of money. God wants you to scale the kingdom. Last thing Jesus said, by the way, to 120 people before he left the planet, go get me the whole world. He didn't tell 120 people, go hang out in the corner, kumbaya. He said, I go get me the whole world. I want them all. Now, that's scale. And you're called into that calling and that command. And there's a gift in your life to do it. Multiplication is God's economy of scale. Let me show you Jesus teaching this in Matthew 25, verse 14. He's telling us what the kingdom of God, how the kingdom of God works, not the kingdom of this earth. He's explaining, for the kingdom of heaven is, so this is how God operates in his kingdom. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. It's representing Jesus coming from heaven to earth. Who called his own servants, you and me, and delivered his goods to them. Say out loud, his goods. So you don't own these. Everything you have, he's delivered to you to steward. And to one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Now listen, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. It refers to when Jesus ascended into heaven. You'll see at the end he comes back. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and made another 5, and made another 5. He increased, he doubled it, he multiplied it. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained, everyone say gained, gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug into the ground and hid his Lord's money. Say it out loud, his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled the accounts. It's referring to his return. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents and said, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. And the Lord said to him, you worthless capitalist. No. He said, well done. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you. Listen, man, listen to me. You want to know why most men don't walk with God? They don't believe this. God said, I will make you have dominion and rulership over many things if you walk with me. That's the call upon every child of God. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You want to live in depression? Live outside of your purpose. Verse 22, and he also had received two talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents beside. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter in to the joy of your Lord. Are you saying God just wants people to have all kinds of stuff? You don't need all that stuff. But why you have? Because you've been trained in the kingdoms of this world, you think if you have a lot, you have to keep it. You can give it away. You can sow it. You can pour it out of your life. You can become a river and not a reservoir. Well, you don't need all that. Then don't keep it. Well, you have to keep it if you get it. Who told you that? See, the kingdom of God works differently. You're always giving. Crazy generosity, reckless generosity. Now listen. Then the servant, given one talent, said, Master, I know you have high standards and you hate carelessness. You hate careless ways, that you demand the best and make no allowances for error. And I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the earth or in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours, one talent. Now listen. But his master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. Since you knew I would demand your profit, say out loud, demand your profit. You remember this, God demands profit out of your life. I would demand your profit. You should have at least put my money into the bank so I could have received some interest on my money. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. And from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. This is the utter repudiation of socialism. It, no, it just is. I mean, and now, this is not an endorsement of the evils of capitalism. That's not what I said. Well, that's not fair. This guy had 10, he had one, he should have given him some. No, not fair. Shut up and get a job, my father would tell me. No, that's what he would tell me. Said, that guy was mean. Yeah, shut up. Only your mother cares how you feel. Shut up and go to work. Be a man. For those of you who love the Godfather, you remember the scene when the guy from California who was the actor, goes, oh, Godfather, he goes, oh, I'm so, my voice is weak. And he starts to cry. And the Godfather grabs him and goes, shut up and act like a man. When you cry like a Hollywood Pinocchio woman, shut up and act like a man. Now, you say, well, that's offensive to me. Shut up and act like a man. Doesn't mean you can't cry. It just means at the end of the day, you get up and you are a warrior and say, I will do the will of God, but you are a selfless warrior. That's a whole nother world. Now, here's what I want you to get. Jesus made it very clear that there were actions of an unfaithful servant and a faithful servant or steward. Let's just very quickly, as we close in our final 5-6 minutes, I want to just show you quickly the actions of an unfaithful steward and how easy it is to fall into these. First of all, he was driven by fear. Because he didn't know his father. He was driven by fear and he had a low tolerance for risk. Most people live and die, and the dreams of their heart die with them, trapped in the earth. Because they live in fear, they have a very low tolerance for risk. And ultimately, they lose what they were even given to steward. What they were designed to do in the earth is lost. It's a terrible thing. Unfaithful is defined in this context by not increasing what God has entrusted to you. Do you understand God calls unfaithful not bringing increase into what he's entrusted to you? He wants you to multiply a family. Yeah, but man, Pastor John, man, our families are so whacked. We just have crazy for generations. You know what? He wants you to go into where all the crazy came and stand. Say, crazy stops here. We are going to walk with God. We are going to live and we are going to walk with God. And he's entrusted me a woman and I'm going to love her like Christ tells me to love her no matter how many crazy people raise me. And I'm going to be able to love my husband the way God says to love my husband and my family because I'm not going to let crazy tell me how to live my life. And it stops here and our children will never know our sorrow. We'll never know our pain. It stops here. That's called dominion. I refuse to live this way any longer. But we're in a world that begs you to find your offensive group. Well, I'm offended. Well, whoop-de-doo, join the club. Everyone's offended. I'm offended that you're offended. Why are you offended? Because he's offended. You're offended. I'm offended at offense. Everybody's, and the kingdom of this world says, let me tell you how to feel bad. Let me show you where somebody, it doesn't mean it's not inequities. Inequities are there. But you think the people that are unequal to you, the people that harm you, are going to help you? You think politicians are going to help you? God said, no, no, no. Whatever happened to you, you don't have to stay there. There's a whole other image I want you to live in. Now, this is very important. He hid his talent in the earth. Now, this is why tithing and giving is critical. It's why it's the beginning of the faithfulness of a Christian. Not the end, but your beginning stages. Because there is a portion of my money, a tenth of it, not the last tenth, the first, that God said, I've designed to be in my kingdom. In the new covenant, you bring it into your local church and it funds the gospel. He said, I've designed a tenth of everything that comes to you. It's mine. You don't give it to me. It's mine. You steward it. Bring it to me. And then you choose to bring offerings and give to the poor. And what most Christians do is they live and die and they take all their money and they hide it in the earth. None of it ever touches eternal purposes. They take all their talents and they hide them in the earth. They take all their resources for pleasure and they hide them in the earth. Every bit of their life from A to Z lives and dies on this planet. And they have nothing that reaches eternity. And God said, when you take what I've given you, not money's the least of it. Every one of us have gifts and talents and resources and vocations and families. And whatever you have has been entrusted to you. God said, don't hide it in the earth. Look, 90% of it, he said, belongs here. But if you're unfaithful with this, I will call you this. And listen to what God called him. He called him a wicked and lazy servant. Not just lazy, but wicked. Why? Because my failure to steward my talent will cost somebody an eternity in hell. That's wicked. This isn't about money. This isn't about Jesus counting stuff. Jesus doesn't count money. People matter to God. People are the precious fruit of the earth. He's talking about the kingdom of God, of which he came to rescue human beings. And he said, there's a portion of your life, in every portion of your life, that belongs to me. And if you'll steward it well, if you'll steward it well, we will plunder hell and populate heaven. That's why the last thing he said was, you go into all the earth and you tell everybody what I've done for them. And most Christians live and die. They never go, let alone tell. I'm not putting anyone down for it. So easy to get trapped in this world, isn't it? And then he defined the actions of a faithful steward. A faithful steward is driven by faith because they know their Father. They labor together with their Father. They recognize everything they have came from God. They realize I'm a steward of everything in my life. I'm not an owner. And as a result, they have a very high tolerance for risk. Most people are driven by fear in this life. And there were things they should have appropriately risked and trust God and let their talent grow. Remember, they went and traded with their talent. They took risk. The other one was afraid and hid it. I can promise you this, of all the people on the planet, the last two people that I think anybody other than maybe our mothers would have picked to lead a ministry of this size and scope, only they would have picked it. You could have lined up, if a million people knew us, a million would have said, not a chance. Michelle was devastated by the abandonment of a father, messed her up. Every way you can mess up a person in life. I mean, when I married her, she weighed 89 pounds. Not because she was just thin. She couldn't eat. Her stomach was rotting by the anxiety and the fear. I was heading toward addiction, and I would have lived a life in and out of rehab. But God. Not because of us, but God. But God. But God. Because it doesn't matter where you start. Because there's another image that you can live within. It doesn't matter what others think about you. And by the way, it doesn't even matter right now what I think about me if I'm willing to submit myself as a faithful steward and give myself to what he called me to do. I'm so persuaded. I hope you understand my heart in this. I believe there are tens of thousands of pastors all over the country. God has given them incredible capacity. He said, you go get people for me. And they're waiting for circumstances and money to give them permission. And I'm telling you, and this is in my vocation, you have your world. Wherever that touches, you have acts of obedience that will require risk and faith. And I remember the day, Michelle will tell you, when God dealt with my heart and he said, you go get me the land Walmart wants. I thought, Walmart land? We don't have money for like any land. So how did you do it? Let God be true and every man a liar. So we started to take steps. And when this land was fully developed, Walmart, the broker for Walmart, called me personally, said we would like, before they built the Super Walmart in Cranberry, we would like to buy the property there and put the Walmart on that property. I said, not for sale. The guy said, everything has a price. I said, you don't know my boss. Do you know how many Christians have come to me through the years, look at the size and scope of this ministry and say, this is just totally unnecessary, totally unnecessary. Why all this waste? So God, who made the universe, can't have a piece of dirt in a stupid building for a purpose for which he shed blood for? Are you crazy? I think God would rather you come cursing with pornography in your hand than to tell him you'd rather people go to hell because you think God needs to be small. You talk about God. Jesus said, go get me the planet. I'm not stopping until they put me in a box. He said, well, that offends me. Have at it. Why do you say that? Because when I die in a few years, you won't be there. Remember, there's a judgment coming. And I won't be there for you. I'm telling you, this matters. This matters for time. It matters for eternity. If this earth ever needed God's people to rise up in their dominion and their authority, and men to be men, and not apologize for it. Be a man. It's okay. Listen. Men and women have a lot of the same characteristics. I get all that. I get it. But be the image of God that you're created to be. Sacrifice your life for your family. Be the guy that stands in front of the truck and take the hit. Pay the price and build your family. And finally this, God called him good and faithful for a very simple reason. Because his actions rescued people from an eternity without God. On the other side of your obedience is not just the blessing of God that will multiply in your own life, because God is faithful. He said, in watering others, I will water you. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom and I will add everything to you. But there's another side to this life. In a few short blinks, we're going to be on the other side. And there are people who live their whole life and they hide it 100% in the earth. And they have no reward that will last forever. The economy of God will cause you to grow in this life. It will cause you to have an eternal reward, and you will live this life on purpose. Doesn't mean it's perfect. Doesn't mean you won't make horrible mistakes and difficulties will come. I didn't say that. But God's mercy endures forever, because the unfaithful steward said, you're a hard man. You are so awesomely mean, and you don't accept any error. And yet God said, my mercy endures forever. What if you believe that and live that way? Number one, your own life would be changed into his image. But then that around you, that he called you to steward for him, that you'd be able to, how many of you want to stand before God and say, Lord, you gave me this. And now I hand you back this. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Because that day's coming for all of us. And I just pray over every person under the sound of my voice that you would walk. Run into the what's of the kingdom. Run into the what's of the economy of God. Because this world is desperate. It's desperate. These are not our enemies. These are our mission field. These are people whom Jesus died for, that we should love like he loved. And they are desperate for you to be the man and woman of God you're called to be. I want to pray over your life. And I want to pray over every person who perhaps today doesn't know what would happen to them if they drew their final breath and slipped into an eternity. So with heads bowed and eyes closed at all of our campuses, those of you watching online, listen, if you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never invited Christ into your life to receive him into your life, because if you've never done that, he doesn't come except by invitation. He doesn't come because you go to church or were baptized or had a sacrament of a church, any church, including this one. Jesus only comes into your life by invitation. When I die, when you die, one of two things must happen. I will pay for my sin and be punished eternally, or I will receive the free gift of eternal life from a Savior. As heads remain bowed and eyes closed, let me read to you what God says about that you should reign in life and you should live in triumph. He said, but through the sin of one man, Adam, death ruled and reigned over everybody. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. This is a gift. You can't earn this. For all who receive this gift will reign in life and live in triumph over sin and spiritual death through Jesus. If you've never given your life to Christ or you're not sure, I want to give you the invitation to invite Christ in your heart. He turns no one away, and he will give you the free gift of eternal life so that when you die, you'll be in the presence of God. And I encourage you today to invite Christ into your life, to be not just the Savior of your life, but the Lord of your life, that you want to steward and live your life to please him. So with every head bowed and every eye closed at all of our campuses, if you desire to be included in that prayer, in a moment I'll ask you to raise your hand, and then we're all going to pray a prayer out loud and together with you right where you're at. So with every head bowed and every eye closed in all of our campuses, say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Right where you're seated, would you just lift your hand so I could see it? And I'll pray for you right now. Do it right now. I'm going to pray for you. Heads are bowed. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Forgive me for many of you, with the lights, some of you I won't be able to see, but thank you. Here at Cranberry and all of our campuses, you can put your hands back down. If you raised your hand, or you should have, please pray this out loud. Were you here with your own ears? Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And we're going to pray it together with you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is wiped away. I'm heaven bound. And Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? That's the decision of your life.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Victory Family Church. If you enjoyed listening, please take a moment to rate, review, and share. For more resources, including locations and service times, please visit lifeatvictory.com.